We're going to focus now on the political tightrope the White House is walking as it responds to unrest in the Middle East and North Africa. President Obama weighed in regularly in public as Egyptian protesters toppled the regime of a U.S. ally. But as NPR White House correspondent Ari Shapiro reports, the unrest in Libya presents a very different set of political challenges. And President Obama has responded largely behind the scenes.
When protesters took to the streets in Cairo, President Obama spoke early and often, mentioning the crisis in front of TV cameras 5 times in 2 weeks.
The only thing that will work is moving a orderly transition process that begins right now.
The U.S. has an even stronger view of Muammar Gaddafi's future in Libya. Here's how Secretary of State Hillary Clinton put it yesterday.
We want him to leave, and we want him to end his regime and call off the mercenaries.
President Obama shares that view, but has not used the bully pulpit to express it. In his only comment on Libya last week, he did not call for Gaddafi to leave.
The Libyan government has a responsibility to refrain from violence, to allow humanitarian assistance to reach those in need, and to respect the rights of its people.
At that point, Americans were still stuck in Tripoli. Once they reached safety, the president called German Chancellor Angela Merkel, and according to the White House, Mr. Obama said Gaddafi, quote, needs to do what is right for his country by leaving now. That was 3 days ago. Other administration officials have stepped up to the microphone since then. At the White House yesterday, UN Ambassador Susan Rice called Gaddafi delusional.
When he can laugh in talking to American and international journalists while he is slaughtering his own people, it only underscores how unfit he is to lead and how disconnected he is from reality.
When White House Press Secretary Jay Carney was asked today why President Obama has been less vocal, he said presidential action takes many different shapes.
Not everything we do comes in the form of a speech or an announcement.
Carney said the president might talk about Libya when Mexico's president visits the White House on Thursday. Officials are also looking for an opportunity in the next few weeks for the president to make a broader speech about changes in the region. Robert Dineen of the Council on Foreign Relations is scratching his head. He says the president's voice is a powerful megaphone, and it could be useful right now.
For too long, we were associated with repressive regimes, and this alienated us from the people of the Middle East. Now we're in a situation where we can actually look like we stand up for the very principles we embody at home.
But there's also a risk. Dog trainers sometimes warn pet owners to say come only once. If the dog refuses to come, repeating the command just undermines the dog owner's power. Tom Malinowski of Human Rights Watch warns that overusing the presidential megaphone diminishes its impact.
I'm a strong believer in the power of presidential words, and sometimes all you've got is words. But in this case, they've got so many other far more tangible tools.
He says Gaddafi's generals might not notice what the president said yesterday, but they will definitely notice American naval vessels heading toward Libya.
With Egypt, you had perhaps greater use of the bully pulpit, but far more limited American actions. With Libya, virtually every tool in the toolbox of American power is now being employed.
Already there are travel bans and an arms embargo on Libya. The U.S. Treasury Department froze $30 billion in Libyan assets. The UN Security Council passed sanctions and referred the situation to the International Criminal Court, and NATO allies are looking at imposing a no-fly zone on Libya. The question is whether any of those tools is ultimately strong enough to force Gaddafi from power. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, The White House.